Greetings, fellow Portlanders. From the Emerson News Network, this is Legion of News.
From high above the milk packing district in the heart of beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon, this, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all-important knowledge from everywhere. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Don Taylor, who is, even now, as I speak these words to you, preparing information on a vast swath of happenings, including, but not limited to, the following.
A Clark County deputy's toddler shoots himself in the head. Tea Party favorites win the GOP primaries, and rescuers save a camel from a sinkhole.
As always, my friends, have no doubt that this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably more intelligent than when you began this hour. And now, without further ado, pay heed, for this is Legion of News.
Good afternoon, I'm Dawn Taylor, and this is absolutely everything you need to know for Wednesday, September 15th, 2010. The three-year-old son of a Clark County deputy shot himself in the head inside their home Tuesday night. The boy was rushed to a local hospital where he underwent emergency surgery. No further details were released on his condition. Meantime, investigators remained at the scene. Deputies said the toddler's dad was off duty and home when the accident happened. However, authorities have not said if the gun used by the toddler was the deputy's service weapon. Actually, I believe that has been updated since I printed this out, that it was indeed his service weapon. The shooting occurred around 10 p.m. last night. Well, which one of these will I read? Here we go. The Tea Party movement basked in the glow of victory last night after its favorites won primary elections in Delaware and New York the night before over more mainstream Republicans, demonstrating the clout of the political right. Now the question is whether the right-wing candidates can also defeat Democratic rivals in November's congressional elections when the stakes are higher and the full electorate is deciding.
By the way, I hadn't even gotten out of bed this morning and my phone was already ringing because I'm on all these email lists, which are just... I've been aggregated onto this passel of, you know, these sort of mailing lists that get put out from everybody who has any book they're pushing, any movie they're talking about, any record that's coming out, or any political candidate for whom they are working. And I somehow ended up on five or six Tea Party emailing lists over the last 6 or 8 months, which is sort of awesome. And before my feet even hit the floor, I was wading through a bunch of interview requests from people, you know, from representing various factions of that movement, asking if we would be interested in discussing their exciting new plan for America.
And yeah. Were you?
No.
Okay. Voting in seven states in the District of Columbia included embattled veteran U.S. Representative Charles Rangel's victory. In his New York Democratic primary, despite allegations of ethics violations. Rangel said, 80-year-old Rangel said he's still got a lot of work to do in Washington.
At the time we are in our history, President Obama needs people like me more than ever.
The thing about that guy is, I mean, he's just got like it's like a dump truck of ethics violations against him, and he had five challengers in the primary. That's the and he's like 1,000 years old, and you get the feeling that he's just being held together with baling wire and duct tape at this point.
And people keep voting for him.
I just expect him to fall apart, like not figuratively, literally. I just expect sections of his body to fall away while I watch him on television. He's sort of like. He's like an even more enfeebled Cab Calloway, you know, but like in a political version. You know what I mean? He just has There's just something.
Ooh-dee, 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 ooh.
He has like this great scrapey voice that sounds as though parts of his larynx are coming off as he addresses the crowd. But I dig him. He's got style.
Rangel made reference to the scandals when thanking supporters Tuesday night.
This victory has to be yours.
I am Jack Klugman.
It has to be. My wife and I were able to stand up to the criticism and the attacks.
Not actually able to stand.
We're able to stand up.
Able to stand up to the allegations. Awesome.
In Delaware, conservative political commentary Christine O'Donnell easily defeated 9-time Representative Mike Castle in the Republican U.S. Senate primary.
That was the one they were pitching me on. It wasn't to talk to her, obviously, but one of her people was interested in coming on and sharing their exciting message for our republic.
Yeah, she's kind of Sarah Palin light. She's very pretty and very well put together and very good at talking points. And I will say, our next hour, when we do the Rick Emerson show, I have some audio of her from the early 90s when she was a very young girl, a young lady, and took part in an anti-masturbation campaign.
Fantastic.
So we'll be hearing a little of that next hour.
I love this country.
She won more than 53% of the vote in a bitter campaign that displayed internal Republican warfare between conservative Tea Party supporters and the more moderate party structures. Castle was backed by the National Republican Party, while O'Donnell received the endorsement of Sarah Palin, as well as $150,000 in late funding from the Tea Party Express. And then also the Democrats were reasonably pleased with last night's primaries, particularly the victory of a Tea Party candidate in Delaware. Congressman and Democratic campaign point man Chris Van Hollen says the primary success of such candidates can be a national issue for them in November.
What is the...
This is primaries.
It's primaries one?
Yes.
What happened in Delaware just sent a message that there is no room at all for that kind of moderation and independence in the Republican Party. And I think that that's going to be a wake-up call to voters in these swing districts.
See, and I know that it's there's sort of a reflexive tendency on the part of many people to be irritated or annoyed at the Tea Party guys or whatever, which, by the way, makes me sound like a child. Every time I say the phrase the Tea Party out loud,
yeah,
I just feel silly. It doesn't sound like a movement that ought to consist of grown-ups. So I just I cringe a little bit every time I hear myself using that phrase.
Well, it's also a little ridiculous how the media. I mean, again, Republicans are excellent at playing the media, and the Tea Party people are no exception. And they realized they had a nice pithy name that is easily said and easily remembered, and so. Throughout all of the media coverage of this, they're being referred to as Tea Party candidates.
Well, I think
they're Republican candidates.
And I think that, you're right in the sense that I think the Republicans just know, they know all of the appropriate buttons to push and the strings to pull with the media. That's less important to me than this, which is, I don't think people truly appreciate just the ringside seat that you've got to the actual destruction of the Republican Party, from within. Because, as you just said, it's not like they're a separate political party in and of themselves. I mean, this is the Republican primary. It's not like it's one party running against another. It's just increasingly polarized and splintered fractions of the same party running against each other.
And the moderate Republicans, the mainstream Republicans, like in particular in Delaware, they did not want O'Donnell as a candidate.
No, because she'll never be elected to anything.
No, she's young. She's another Sarah Palin. She's pretty. And she's very photogenic, and she does speak well. But once she starts talking, you realize she's kind of an idiot.
Yeah, and she's crazy.
And her background is just chock full of crap that the Democrats can use against her.
Yeah, so that's just party affiliations notwithstanding, leaving all to the side, this is really just shaping up to be an exceptionally entertaining political season because she is a perfect example of somebody who has won the primary. But she couldn't be elected to dog catcher like anywhere in the country. So
it's awesome.
Some conservative commentaries are already writing off the seat, but Congressman Mike Pence said the election of Scott Brown earlier this year shows that anything is possible.
Electing Christine O'Donnell in Delaware, a Republican senator in Delaware, is probably, it's about as crazy as electing a Republican senator in Massachusetts. Who'd have thunk it?
Who'd have thunk it?
Who'd have thunk it? Indeed. Yeah. There you go. All right. You are listening to Legion of News right here at PDX.FM. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Don Taylor. You can also download this program from iTunes later on in the day. You can download it in archived fashion as a plain old MP3 to your computer if you like as well from legionofnews.com or PDX.FM. And it's available on your mobile device at mobile.pdx.fm. That is mobile.pdx.fm. This is Don Taylor.
It was an unusual call yesterday for Clackamas County firefighters who were called last night to rescue a 1,500-pound camel named Moses, who had fallen into a 6-foot muddy sinkhole and was possibly injured. The camel's Oregon City owners had tried to get the camel out themselves, but failed. Firefighters had to carefully shovel mud for several hours to free the animal. The rescuers were concerned that Moses would break his legs if he tried to free himself while still partially buried, but Moses was patient, and eventually firefighters got him out. The camel laid on his side for an hour, resting after the rescue. A veterinarian said the animal looked unhurt.
So you're allowed to own a camel in Clackamas?
Well, you can own llamas and alpacas, so I'm assuming, sure, apparently a camel is okay as
well. I wouldn't even think they could live here. I would think it would be much too temperate for them. I thought they had to live in a more desert climate. I mean, maybe I'm just sort of assuming that because you always just see them in places that are very, you know, dry and hot.
I think mostly people don't own them because they're spectacularly unpleasant animals.
Really?
Oh, yeah. They're grumpy and mean, and they spit at you. Of course, so do llamas. Llamas spit at you, too.
What would be the point of that? It doesn't even seem like a thing that would repel an attack. Nah. You know, normally if an animal does something bizarre, like there's that bizarre... Have you ever seen that lizard that just squirts blood out of its eyes?
Yeah.
It's fantastic. Yeah. Which I guess it's a thing they do because it has some sort of defensive capability when they're in the wild.
And there are a lot of animals and insects and such that emit things that smell bad.
Yeah, but there's
unpleasant. This
is just where they're obnoxious and rude.
Yes.
All right.
And anyway, if you go to KGW's website, by the way, they do have a video. They had a cameraman there shooting the rescue. So they have footage of the firefighters. Last night, rescuing the camel at like 10 o'clock at night from a muddy hole.
Where would
with
you
the
even...
camel sitting there going, making that camel noise. It's quite hilarious, actually.
The best part is how you had to follow up the sound you just made by noting that it was, in fact, quote, the camel noise. And not something that you just do like on a regular basis because you haven't had enough fiber.
Well,
I'm Don
there's
Taylor.
That, too.
Anyway...
People might be concerned. They might think that it was something else. I have to, like, clarify.
From where would you actually buy a camel is my question.
Camel World over on Hawthorne.
The Camelarium on, it's on Stark. All right. Well, never mind. Let's forget I asked that question. I realize it's a stupid question that there's no answer to it. There's no way to discern the answer. Here's Don Taylor.
Portland police are asking for public help in locating a 56-year-old man who has been missing since the weekend. Officers said Jeffrey Lynn Gormley was last seen in the area of Northeast 47th Avenue and Gleason at around 1:30 a.m. Saturday. Police described him as white, 5'4" tall, 140 pounds, with shoulder-length black and gray hair. He was last seen wearing a blue sweatshirt and khaki pants. He uses a wheelchair, police said, and is missing his right leg. The missing man suffers from dementia and has a medical condition that could endanger his welfare if left untreated. Anyone with information about his whereabouts should call 911. A big rig carrying 15,000 pounds of squid turned over in a field of broccoli early Tuesday after crashing into a ditch outside Greenfield, California.
Now, we just need a truck full of chopsticks to spill into it. We'll all be set.
The single vehicle crash took place on a dirt road off Highway 101 at Los Coches Road at about 2:49 a.m. The truck was headed southbound when it crashed into a ditch. No injuries were reported in the crash, but crews were still clearing the squid that had slipped into the field as of 9 a.m. yesterday.
Were these squid that were alive or were they dead?
I believe they were dead. It was 15,000 pounds of squid in a truck. So I believe they were carrying a calamari.
I didn't know if they were perhaps like in tanks or something, if they were being transported to... if you go into a restaurant where they've got squid that are alive...
Do they actually have restaurants where the squid are alive?
I would imagine, because isn't that a... isn't that a thing like where you go into a restaurant and you pick out your lobster and they toss it into a pot or whatever?
I don't think they do that with squid. I've never heard of that.
Am I just basing this on my desire to... Is this like in case...
This is just something you wish existed because you would think it was awesome.
In case I want to go... Did you do that shot-for-shot remake of Old Boy? Well, all right.
When I was in culinary school, I had to clean an entire case of squid.
What do you mean clean a case of squid?
I mean, I had to open up a case that had that was a big giant box that was filled with squid.
But like a living squid or dead squid?
No, they were dead squid.
All right.
But, you know, like all fish and things like that, you have to prepare them, so you have to clean them. You
oh, not, okay,
the
not, okay. I get when you say clean, you meant in the sort of prepared to be eaten.
Yes,
sense.
Like when you clean fish or clean shrimp.
I was just picturing you with like a scrub brush and soap.
A little and spray just, bottle and a rag.
Yeah, and you're just wiping it down.
All no, right. I wish that was what I had
you
to
had
do.
You had to prepare the squid like you would clean a fish.
Right.
Like a
what I had to
something.
Do was actually like pop right. their heads off and try to do it without bursting their ink sacs, and then stick my fingers down the length of their tubular bodies and scoop out their guts. And I had to do that to an entire case of squid. And
let me just take a
unsurprisingly,
moment.
I don't eat calamari anymore.
Just take a second here just to apologize to everyone everywhere who was caught off guard by that statement, as was I didn't really have time to put up my mental shields before all that imagery was thrust into my brain, so thanks a lot for that.
But you don't really think about what's involved in cleaning a squid until you have to do it. Then you have to do a whole case of it, and it puts you off squid.
You
let,
don't
me,
really,
let me tell you.
You don't think about these things until it's 12:17 and you're trying to eat your lunch while listening to Dawn describe, quote, not bursting the ink sac as you pull out the squid's guts.
Yes, exactly.
Good times. You're listening to Legion of News right here at PDX.FM. This is Dawn Taylor.
A decapitated body was found near a middle school in an affluent Chicago neighborhood, possibly the result of a pipe bomb explosion. Evanston residents living near Nichols Middle School heard an explosion between 4 and 4:30 a.m. today and also claimed to have smelled gunpowder. Local man Dale Wyatt, 31, was walking his dog near the school and discovered the decapitated body about 5:15 a.m. Wyatt said his dog led him to the remains of a shirtless man whose head was missing and legs were folded behind him. He told the Chicago Tribune, I thought my dog was chasing a rabbit, but when I got close, it was a body without a head. There was a weird smell in the air. I wasn't expecting what I saw. Officers met Wyatt at the scene where the body was reportedly near tennis courts between a fence and a pine tree. And they believe that it might have been the result of a pipe bomb explosion that had happened an hour earlier, about a half a block away.
All right. So they do have like a specific pipe bomb explosion they were referring
yes.
to. They weren't just sort of extrapolating out from the evidence and
no.
imagining that.
No, there was an explosion and okay. there was like possibly a pipe bomb. And they were investigating that a good block or so away from here. From this place. And then an hour later, this guy found a headless body.
So that means that there's a charming part two to the story coming on later on when somebody is walking and they
right.
find the just the head.
Someone is going to find a head.
All right.
I hope they're... Well.
Here's Dawn Taylor.
A Cumberland County, Pennsylvania man would like his neighborhood to secede from its township. Jim Massey, who lives in the West Creek Hills development, opposes a proposed apartment complex that would be built near his neighborhood. Massey says the complex would create a major traffic headache for him and his neighbors, so he's whipped up several protest signs illustrating his concerns. They read, Imagine 672 cars here. Ordinance change hurts township. And another one just simply says, Secede. Massey's secession plan involves neighboring Wormleysburg Borough. He's hoping the borough will adopt...
Wormleysburg?
Yes, he's hoping the borough will adopt his neighborhood, incorporate it into his borough, its borough, and then nix the apartments.
Wormleys, what are Wormleysburg?
Wormleysburg.
Is that where Mr. Macabre and Mr. Murdstone live?
But yes, he...
okay, whatever. Wormleysburg.
Wormleysburg.
What state is that in?
Pennsylvania.
Okay.
I love guys like that, though, who just are like, I don't like something. You know what we should do? We just need to secede.
They just reach for the nuclear option for everything. It's they have no middle gears. They immediately go to living in an Airstream trailer in the middle of a field and being called Führer by somebody.
Yeah, it's like for 10 years I lived just a little bit outside of St. John's, and there were these like group of people that would always meet at the local diner. There was actually this still a lunch counter in this one shop in St. John's. And they would meet and they would seriously discuss, you know, their plans for returning St. John's to its position as a separate town from Portland. And there's like six guys. And they've been working for this for like 20 years.
Fantastic. You are listening to Legion of News right here at PDX.FM. Coming up at 1 o'clock, the Rick Emerson radio program. Betwixt now and then, we have Science on the March and Entertainment News right here at Legion of News, which is brought to you by, among other folks, our good friends at Castalia Language Center. Castalia Language Center, which is a small private language learning institution, a place where knowledge is forcibly jammed into your brain.
They smartify you.
With a sort of auditory plunger. It's just just shoved into your synapses. It is run by Clara Grebel, who
that
is
doesn't sound pleasant at all. I bet it's much, much nicer than that.
Here's the thing, is it's sort of like it's the reverse of your squid cleaning process, where being very careful not to rupture your ink sac. Clara Grebel and her platoon of teachers will, in fact, then pop off the top of your head and shove guts full of knowledge into your body. And then they carefully reaffix the top of your skull. Because otherwise you walk around the street and your knowledge just falls out. It just spills all over the place, and then it does you no demonstrable good.
I had no idea that was how it worked.
You know, it's not a thing they talk about very often. It's sort of a proprietary method. It's that is really what differentiates them from more traditional schools of alleged learning, Dawn, which are less effective. That's maybe why you didn't really retain any of that Spanish education that you received while you were in school.
Maybe my ink sac ruptured.
That's what I'm saying. And, you know, they don't like to brag about it. It's not a thing they boast about. These are the advances that mark the forward progress of human society. You can contact them if you like at PortlandSpanish.com. And really, just given my fantastic endorsement just now, who would not be picking with the phone as we speak? Castalia focuses on real-life situations. They work with authentic materials. They limit class sizes to 8 students, and it's for adults only, which means that you're not going to be there with teenagers or kids, which is good just because adults learn at a different rate and in a different way than younger folk. So if you want to find out how to either brush up on your Spanish or how to learn in a style that is actually going to get you speaking language conversationally in the shortest amount of time, contact Castalia Language Center, a small private school in downtown Portland that offers Spanish language classes for adults. You can contact them at PortlandSpanish.com. PortlandSpanish.com. This is Dawn Taylor.
Let's do a little bit of science news.
It's Science on the March here at Legion of News.
Some nice science news. Researchers have released a nearly complete preliminary mapping of the DNA of the tree that produces chocolate. The project to map the cacao genome was funded by candy maker Mars Incorporated. It finished the sequence just 2 years into what was supposed to be a 5-year project. Mars, the maker of Snickers, M&Ms, and other candies, says it hopes the result would someday lead to more robust, higher-yielding, and drought- and disease-resistant cacao trees. Mars will have spent $10 million on the project by the time it's complete. It worked with partners from the U.S. Department of Agriculture, IBM, and researchers at universities across the country. You got nothing to say.
No, your inflection there, I wasn't quite sure if you were done.
No, it's done. Not
you
finished.
Sort of inflected. It wasn't an upward inflection, but it was wasn't quite downward. It was sort of a...
And
a
researchers around the country.
There you go. Thank you, Don. Wow, that's a fascinating story. I guess I don't really understand... I guess I don't really understand the point, though. Is there a shortage of chocolate that I wasn't aware of? I mean, it's not like it's a commodity in the sense that people buy it and sell it, but it's also not like a thing that's exceedingly rare.
Yeah, but cacao trees, for one thing, they're like coffee trees.
Right.
They have coffee, which are actually bushes. They have to actually grow in
a whole process for you.
But they also have to grow in a very specific environment.
Is this just so Mars can create their own strain of chocolate trees? I mean, that's really what this is all about.
They want to find drought and disease-resistant trees. They want them to be hardier. They're probably going to try and figure out how to grow them in less hot, humid climates.
But it seems like it's less about that as such than it is about them doing some Monsanto thing where they create their own chocolate trees and then just patent them. And then they can actually have their own chocolate farms.
Well, yes. I'm sure that's a large amount
because
of it.
Because they have to import chocolate from... What sections of the world...
South America, mostly.
See, and so that's...
South America and Africa, so but mostly South America.
That's probably the thing right there is that it's just a... which is fine, but it's just it's a move for further financial independence on the part of Mars. So they can just have... This story sounds insane, by the way, because I keep talking about Mars doing things.
Oh.
At the same time that I'm talking about growing large chocolate forests somewhere.
I just love the idea of a $10 million cacao genome project.
I think to the casual observer today, it might sound as though we've gone crazy. Just FYI. All right. Well, there you go.
Tens of thousands of walruses have come ashore in northwest Alaska because the sea ice they normally rest on has melted.
I think you're looking for the word walry.
Federal scientists say this massive move to shore by walry is unusual in the United States, but it has happened at least twice before in 2007 and 2009. In those years, Arctic ice, sea ice was also at near or record low levels. The population of walry, Rollers, some.
Just plunge on ahead in a confident voice. Nobody will know the difference.
Stretches for 1 mile or more, packed shoulder to shoulder, according to U.S. Geological Survey biologist Anthony Fischbach. He estimated their number at...
Is his name really Fischbach?
Fischbach.
Okay.
He estimated their number at tens of thousands. Scientists with two federal agencies are most concerned about the one-ton female walry stampeding and crushing each other and their smaller calves near Point Lay, Alaska, on the Chukchi Sea. Oh, Alaskans, give me names that are easier to pronounce, please. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is trying to change airplane flight patterns to avoid spooking the animals.
Did you see, speaking of, this has nothing to do with the walrus or its patterns of migration or the melting of ice flows or anything. When you talked about the female walry not crushing one another,
mm-hmm.
am I the only one who saw that thing on CNN this morning where there's some huge hearing happening today about, it's like it's 1998 all over again, about crush videos?
No,
which is like
really?
What's the hot chicks in high heels stepping on,
again?
Jumping on mice or what?
Yeah.
Whatever. Which, I'm not for the stomping of animals, whatever. But that's one of those things that I first heard about. I swear to Christ, I was doing radio in Utah when we heard about, you know, there's a new phenomenon called the crush video. And politicians are saying that it's something that needs to be. It was like 15 years ago and they were talking about outlawing it. So I guess today there's actually some hearing happening on Capitol Hill about crush videos and the need to ban them, which, leaving aside the issue of whether or not they should be banned or not, it just seems like that's a thing that we already decided like a decade and a half ago.
Because they crush, like, mice and insects?
Yeah, no, it's exactly what I just said. It usually is reasonably attractive women in high heels jumping up and down on small animals.
I saw one once that it was women's high-heeled feet stepping on toy trucks. And I remember thinking that was one of the odder fetish things I'd ever encountered.
So maybe it's not just
no.
So it's not just like hamsters and stuff.
No, it's not just animals or bugs or although some I guess some are about cockroaches and bugs and things. But no, I saw one that was like tiny toy trucks.
What would be what would have to be done to you when you were young for that to be your fetish? That seems like an absurdly detailed and specific way to become aroused.
The thing I've discovered in the last few years is that pretty much anything you can think of, no matter how freaky and bizarre, there is someone, and quite possibly thousands of someones, who have some kind of fetish about it.
Well, like I don't disagree with that as such. I'm just wondering exactly... what creates that? Like,
oh, yeah.
What is the...
I don't understand. Like, the balloon fetishists. What gives you...
I don't even know what that is.
Oh, seriously?
Your eyes just lit up like I told you there really was a Santa Claus.
No, here's the thing about... Okay, there are people who have fetishes...
It's your best day ever.
...about balloons. Uh-huh. Latex balloons, like party balloons. But here's the thing, and I did not experience this myself, but a friend of mine did.
Your friend Dan Taylor?
Yes. Dan Taylor actually found a message board online, internet message board for people who are balloon fetishists. And apparently within the balloon fetish community, there is much heated debate on whether or not you are a true balloon fetishist if you prefer deflated balloons. Then they say you're merely a latex fetishist. That to be a real balloon fetishist, it has to be an inflated balloon.
What if it's one of those, like...
And they get mad at the deflated guys because they say that they're not really balloon
fetishists. We're going to secede! What if it was like one of those aluminum Mylar balloons? You know, the shiny metallic kind you see at Safeway.
I know. I don't know. I'll bet they argue about that as well.
All right. I tend to think of myself as a pretty bright guy, but please do explain to me... I mean, when you say you're a balloon fetish, not you, but if someone is a balloon fetishist, I mean, what is that really? I mean, I know what a fetish is, but here's what I'm trying to ask. You're not having relations with the balloon itself, are you?
Well, step one, I believe, is that the actual sight of an inflated party balloon arouses you. And
really?
Step two is then you end up, you indulge yourself, I believe, by, like, rubbing it against yourself.
What about a hot air balloon? What about the Macy's Day?
Well, you would just lose it right there, wouldn't you?
What about the Macy's Parade?
Yeah, you couldn't go to that. You'd have to stay home. And you'd want to stay home,
this
I think.
Like those, this is like those dudes who get off on sneezing. You know, these are like you go to those sneeze fetish sites, which I have gone to,
no,
by the way.
See, that I didn't know
see,
about.
See, I'm not even, and that's
I'm
not
even
going to put that on somebody else.
That.
No, it's a thing that I went to some site, and it was just, there wasn't even really any nudity or any actual sex involved. It was just... either like animated like GIFs or just scenes from movies and television shows of chicks sneezing, and then it would like slow down and be done in slow motion, sort of like a hoot. And this is so gross, but you having set the bar relatively high because of your squid talk earlier, mm-hmm. I feel fine saying this, that apparently the thing that excites the sneeze fetishists the most is when you get some reasonably attractive woman. Like, they prefer television newscasters when possible for reasons that I really was never able to figure out. But if you can get some attractive woman on camera who sneezes, and it's apparently it's the best if the sneeze is not planned. In other words, it's not like she was sniffing pepper or whatever you do to instigate a sneeze. It's like if the sneeze was spontaneous, but that it didn't happen right away, if there was a little bit of that ha-ha thing before, and then they slow down the video when the sneeze actually happens, because this is apparently the climactic act for a sneeze fetishist, is that when she sneezes, you get that, like, fine particle spray they can then watch in slow motion.
The money shot, as it were.
Exactly. Yes. And
we should talk about this in the next hour, because I have so much more I would like to add to this conversation, but we have to get back to the news.
Okay. That's probably just as well.
I'm going to write that down, though, for...
Are you writing this down in your list of things that they've never gotten to?
Exactly. But it will be this time, because I have things I want
to... You know why else it needs to be gotten to today?
What?
Because I've got clown porn.
Oh, right, my... Here. Is that the box with the clown porn?
The guy who threatened/promised to send clown porn.
And I asked you earlier, is there anything particular you want to get to in the second hour?
Well, that was a lie, Dom, when I said no.
It.
No, that's because I was fibbing. Because I was going to spring this on you, but I figure now, here's what I'm going to do. We won't get bogged down in this now. This will be happening in the Rick Emerson Show, which comes up at 1 o'clock. You can hear that at rickemerson.com. Also, Kelly Clark from Willamette Week. We'll get to the top five today. Plus, we have a corpse watch, a snuff watch, and democracy on the march. But most importantly...
And I would suggest if you have ever thought about jumping on the intranets and going to rickemerson.com and subscribing to the show... today is the day you will get to hear me experience clown porn for the first time. So, and I'm terrified of clowns, and this apparently is clown porn.
And so the guy who had the clown porn, he was going to bring it into the studio. I said, well, you can come by, and we'll actually just, we'll give you the 2-cent tour, and you can show Don your clown pornography. And he was going to, but then his work schedule got real busy, so he said, can I mail it to you? And I said, by God, you can get it to however you want to transport that here. You just, you get it done. So... what I'm going to do is I'm going to take this clown porn, which arrived in the mail yesterday. I'm just going to set it. It's in the box still.
It's still in a plain brown box.
It is mailed discreetly so as to not cause embarrassment to the recipient or the sender.
Mm. I appreciate the fact that he didn't write, here's your clown porn on the front of the box
the
or
thing,
something.
He sent me an email about this where he said, and it was like, it really was like he was in the sting or something. He was like, it's like, the pigeon is headed for home, Rick. The pigeon is headed for home. And he, in fact, told me he specifically did not put anything on the front to indicate. It's notable, by the way, also that his name and return address are nowhere on this.
Well, yeah.
Like, if this had gotten lost somehow, this would just be in the dead letter office or being taken home by an unscrupulous mail person. This never would have made it here. But his name, there's nothing here to identify him as the sender. And there's nothing on the box to indicate that it contains clown porn. So I'm just going to set this on the table. He deliberately did not label it as clown porn because he said, I don't want Dawn to check the mail some morning and ruin the surprise for you.
Well, that's sweet. So now it's sort of like Schrodinger's clown porn.
Yes.
It doesn't actually exist until... It's in a state of existing and not existing.
At the same time.
Until we open the box and see it.
That's right. There you go. I'm just going to set that there on the table. You can stare at that. You're listening to Legion of News right here at PDX.fm. Don't forget, you can hear this program later on today via iTunes as well. You can also download it from legionofnews.com or PDX.fm. And you can get it on your mobile device at mobile.pdx.fm. This is Don Taylor.
The man accused of beating his roommate in the head with a hammer in Tualatin appeared in court yesterday. Kevin Brannon, 33, was arrested in the Hayden Island area Monday in connection with the Sunday morning attack on David Brown, 27. He is facing charges of assault and attempted murder. The victim's brother, John Brown, also lives in the Tualatin house on Southwest Norwood Road and said he told Brannon to move out on Saturday. Later that night, John Brown said Brannon attacked his sleeping brother with a hammer. The suspect was intoxicated during the incident. Brandon fled, and David Brown walked down the road for help. He eventually collapsed, and a passing driver found him. David Brown is in stable condition in a medically induced coma and might require more surgery. The victim also suffers from kidney disease and is a dialysis patient.
Okay, so the guy's not dead, though. He survived. He made it through.
Yes.
All right.
John Brown said, I always knew that Brennan wasn't totally there, but I never thought he'd do something like that. It's just terrible. I hope he rots in jail. I hope he's in there for life.
You know, as you read this story, because I'm a terrible person, I kept looking for a place to insert a whole uh-oh, here comes the hammer thing, and then I just would never be able to do it. So just know that that was lurking in the back of my brain this entire time, but I couldn't find a way to make it work.
You should always say, it's hammer time,
see,
right before you beat someone with a hammer.
I thought about going the hammer time, the please hammer, don't hurt him, but it is none of them. There was no opening for any of those remarks. You are listening to Legion of News right here at PDX.FM. This is Don Taylor.
Let's do our entertainment news.
Are you just typing in fetish sites over there? You've got that look on your...
No!
You've got that evil gleam in your eye. You're typing with one hand, and you're holding the microphone with the other, which isn't really like code for anything. That really is just what she's doing. And you've got that one sort of crazily arched eyebrow as though you're looking at something awful that you will inflict on me later.
No, actually, I was just doing a thing where I'd forgotten to get the what's new on TV tonight.
Well
thing.
Done.
So I was doing that with one hand while we were going into the entertainment.
While you're
news.
Looking for that, let me just say that if you are not currently subscribed to the Rick Emerson radio program, you can do that over at rickemerson.com, or you can take part in the Emerson Grant program. The Emerson Grant is where we're giving away 10 one-month subscriptions to the Rick Emerson Show. We're doing that in partnership with our good friends at New Millennium Landscaping and Maintenance. New Millennium Maintenance and Landscaping. They will do landscaping, obviously yard work for your home, and nuisance abatement solutions. You can find out more about that at rickemerson.com. The way you participate is to send a video of no more than 2 minutes in length, a YouTube video of no more than 2 minutes in length, explaining why you or somebody you know should receive a one-month subscription to the Rick Emerson Show. You send that to video@rickemerson.com, and or you can leave us a voicemail at 503-505-6964, 503-505-6964, explaining again why you or someone you know needs to be graced with a one-month subscription to the glory that is the Rick Radio Emerson Radio program, and or Don Taylor.
And we will also reward you too if you are just especially creative, because I have gotten a number of poems. One a haiku, one a limerick sent to me, and then other prose poetry sort of things at dawn@rickemerson.com. And yesterday, during the Rick Emerson Show, we received a phone call from a man who said that he's a Legion of News listener, but doesn't subscribe to Rick Emerson, but he wanted to give us Squeaky Fromm's address and phone number.
By the way, I want to say right now, and I'm looking here at, let me just look and see if I've got this. I'm checking my phone right now because I think that guy emailed me this morning. He says, this is from, his name was, I think actually after I said his name yesterday, he said...
Yeah, he said, don't say my name.
I don't want my name really, like, out there or anything. so he says, listen, he was confirming, he said, yes, this is in fact Squeaky Fromm's home phone number. So we got a guy who actually called up and he gave us Squeaky Fromm's home phone number and address, by the way, because he was hoping to... This is really what we ought to do. We really ought to have a bounty. That should be the thing. You know, in addition to, you know, the voicemail or the video or the limerick or the haiku or whatever, we ought to just have sort of a bounty where if you can bring us, like, X, we will then give you either a month or 2 months or whatever to the Rick Emerson Show. He said, yes, it's confirmed. The information on Squeaky Fromm I gave you is correct. In exchange, I'm looking forward to the one-month grant to listen to the Rick Emerson Show. I was so excited, he says. Please don't let me down. So there you go. So that is from that guy who wishes to remain nameless. So anyway, you can find out more about that at rickemerson.com. This is Don Taylor.
It's time for entertainment news.
Here's your entertainment news for Wednesday on Legion of News.
Hootie and the Blowfish are getting a monument. Is it is getting a monument or are getting a monument?
It would be is.
Is. Hootie and the Blowfish is getting a monument in South Carolina's capital city. The State newspaper reported that a large steel and black granite art piece will be unveiled October 21st in Columbia, South Carolina's Five Points neighborhood, blocks from the University of South Carolina. The newspaper reported the monument is expected to be about 20 feet long, 10 feet wide, and at least 12 feet tall. The Southern Rockers, they really rockers?
Well, in the softest kind of way.
Sold more than 16 million copies of their debut album, Cracked Rear View, which was released in 1994. They haven't played much together recently, although they did celebrate their 25th anniversary. They will celebrate the 25th anniversary next year. Lead singer Darius Rucker has enjoyed a resurgence in country music, releasing his second solo country album next month, Charleston SC 1966.
I love the idea. How does it say how big the statue is going to be?
Well, this is a monument, so I'm wondering if it's going to be some kind of like wall or something. So it's going to be 20 feet long, 10 feet wide, and at least 12 feet tall.
Fantastic. And it's steel and granite?
Steel and granite.
The great thing about that is that that will almost certainly outlast humanity itself, so that someday when alien archaeologists come here and they will say, and this was their god, and they'll view Hootie and the Blowfish as being some sort of like a... Some sort of a southern musical version of the Holy Trinity, you know,
where it was. And maybe he will grow large in myth and legend, and he will be like the great god Hootie with his minion robotic blowfish who did his bidding and smited the evildoers.
Or the Hootie and the Blowfish
smote.
Thing. It'll be like those. What were those? They weren't the Gondorian statues. What were those huge statues that they had to that the Fellowship of the Ring had to go past when they're going down the river or whatever. Well, you know what I'm talking about.
Not that well.
Doesn't matter. Hootie and the Blowfish.
I'm all kinds of a geek, but I am
blah,
not
blah, blah,
a Hobbit
whatever.
Geek.
Well, all right, there you go.
Actor Brian Austin Green has the utmost praise when he talks about his wife Megan Fox's parenting skills to his 8-year-old son, Cassius. Megan is absolutely my better half in parenting, said Green, who's 37.
Is it Cassius or is it Cassius? Like, is it Cassius Clay?
Well, it's spelled like Cassius Clay, but it's with a K. So it could be Cassius.
Okay.
I don't know. It's right. Another one of those goofy names that...
At least he's not being named Cody or Skyler.
Green said, she just gets it. It's instinctual to her. Green started dating Fox when he was 31 and she was 18. And even though she was still a teenager, she made a profound impact on the former Beverly Hills 90210 star. When we met, I had just separated from Cash's mom, and a relationship was the last thing on my mind. It's not something I ever thought would be serious. Really, you're 31, you're dating an 18-year-old. You didn't think it would be serious. I'm shocked. But she brought out parts of me that I had lost in my last relationship.
My penis, specifically.
Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
All right.
Okay. Actor Josh Brolin told Playboy that he has never committed adultery on his wife, actress Diane Lane. Aren't you glad you know that, Rick Emerson?
I didn't know he was married to Diane Lane. Why did I not know that?
I don't know. He's married to Diane Lane.
What is it? How old is Diane Lane?
Now, late 40s.
How old is Josh Brolin?
Early 40s.
Ah, maybe? See, I thought he was much younger than that. I would never have thought he was that old. I guess here's the thing is that lately, I used to do this thing where I was constantly confusing Timothy Oliphant and Ethan Hawke, but now I'm confusing Timothy Oliphant and Josh Brolin.
Oh.
I guess is more understandable. So now, whenever you talk about Josh Brolin, or whenever anybody mentions him, also because Josh Brolin, like the No Country for Old Men thing, he had that kind of a, you know, he was doing this sort of southern, you know, the southern man, you know, the man of rough edges, you know,
yeah.
but a certain charm. And now because I've been watching, well, not only Deadwood, but Justified, so now they're just merging ever closer in my head, so... All right, that's why the confusion.
And the thing is also with Josh Brolin, he may seem younger because his
dad's like 100 years old.
And
so.
He only really started getting really famous the last couple of years,
yeah.
even though he's been around since the Goonies.
Yeah, that's true.
You know.
All right.
So anyway, he told Playboy, I don't F around on my wife. I mean, check her out, man. My relationship with my wife is fantastic. Rumors of an affair started when he was photographed smooching with his Grindhouse actress co-star Marley Shelton, but he claims the actress is just a great friend. I'm an extremely affectionate guy. Marley and I were out together, turned around, and saw there were cameras. That's it. As for being arrested back in December 2004 for spousal battery just 4 months after he married Lane, the actor claims the arrest was unwarranted. I talked big, and she said F you and called the cops, and somebody had to go to jail, he said. This will be there for the rest of my life. That effing sucks. It's been so disruptive to our lives. It's also post-OJ, and that horrifies us both. It kills me, man. It kills me.
I don't think you should refer to something. It's not like you can say in this post-9/11 era, you know, and then also say it in, like, using OJ.
In this post-OJ world.
In this post-OJ Simpson world. That, I'm not saying he's guilty of anything. I'm not saying he's not. I don't know the details of that situation. But I'm saying, referencing OJ Simpson when you're talking about there was a big misunderstanding with your spouse, that doesn't really, that does not underscore the nature of your innocence.
No. I also like the idea, I talked big, she said F you, and called the cops, and somebody had to go to jail. Like,
well, that is true, though. I mean, if somebody calls the police and claims that there is domestic violence happening, they are legally required to take someone into custody. That is actually true. Let's have no illusions about that. The police are required. In other words, if you call the cops and you say, hey, my husband's knocking on me, whether or not it's true, they are required to make an arrest.
Lane described the incident as a misunderstanding.
Yeah, well,
and who hasn't had those kinds of misunderstandings with their husband, really?
I will tell you this, actually, that although because I'm small and spindly, it was always like me that was getting the punching. But when I was younger,
hard to imagine.
I'm just
women punching you.
I'm just and not in a sexy R. Crumb kind of way. It was just that, like, by definition, you know, anybody that I would be, you could put me, you could pick a random person from the 6 billion other occupants of Earth, and they are almost certainly going to be bigger and stronger than I am, because I'm just, it's all I can do to stand, really.
You know what I just imagined in my head?
Huh.
Crushing porn, where it's like a woman with, like, red high-heeled shoes just stepping on a tiny little Rick Emerson.
See, right now there's going to be somebody who's, they're going to be creating a, going to be creating some sort of a, like a manga-style animation to go with that. No, when I was,
I smell T-shirt.
I had a series of tumultuous relationships when I was younger, star-crossed romances. But you know, what would always happen is that it would be either late at night and or someone would be drunk, and then just this escalating.
Somebody drank a whole bottle of Robitussin.
Exactly, and this escalating war of words would happen, and then I know this will come as a big shock, but I could be kind of a dick sometimes.
No,
and. And I would always, as Sam Kinison used to say, I would always just find, like, the one thing that was guaranteed, you know, just to make the other person just sort of snap. And then there was one person in particular that I dated for some time. And we would have these screaming arguments at, like, 1 a.m, like, about nothing, the way you do when you're, like, 20.
Mm-hmm.
But you're just, like, at some apoplectic nuclear level of rage for reasons that even I can't possibly recall now. And I would just say something that I knew was going to push it, like, into the red zone to, like, DEFCON 1. And the next thing I know, it's like Mr. Hand becomes Mr. Fist. And I was usually pretty quick to move. So the punch wouldn't hit me, like, directly in the face. You know, it would, like, hit me in the side of the head. Or occasionally she would just go, like, wham! And, like, shove me into something with, like, a real, like, one of those roadhouse, like, fist to the chest kind of a thing. Rick Emerson was always very careful, though, not to respond in kind, just because you know that if the cops ever show up, you only have two choices. One is either they just throw you in the clink, or the other is to just admit the truth, which is that your girlfriend is like, you know, is whacking you in the face, which makes you look like less of a man. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Penelope Cruz is pregnant.
That's great. Swell.
She's 4.5 months pregnant.
Maybe more insect children.
She's shooting the fourth installment of Pirates of the Caribbean with Johnny Depp. She married Javier Bardem over the summer.
Really? Has anybody checked to see if his head is still there after the mating act? I expect to see Penelope Cruz out of my garden eating ladybugs most of the time.
Spike Lee will direct a live webcast of a concert featuring The Roots and John Legend. The September 23rd concert, which will be held in New York, is part of the Unstaged Live Concert Series presented by American Express. The live stream will be seen on YouTube via the music video website Vevo, and viewers will get a chance to select which camera they want to use to view the performance. It's not necessarily a Spike Lee joint, said Lee to AP. It's a John Legend and The Roots joint.
Especially because The Roots comprise numbers 1 through, like, 700 on the list of things that white people like in a musical sense. See also Most Def.
Do they really?
Yes. Yes, they do. You know who listens? You know listens to The Roots, largely speaking? The people who drive Priuses. People who drive Priuses and also own a lot of stuff by Vampire Weekend.
Real Time with Bill Maher host Bill Maher received a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame on Tuesday. Joining him for the event were Larry King and Family Guy creator Seth MacFarlane. Maher said at the unveiling that he wanted to thank George Bush, Sarah Palin, and the Pope.
I want Larry King to be, like, if I ever win anything, I want Larry King to be there. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what it's for, even if he has no demonstrable purpose in being there.
I'm proud of you, Rick.
And just to sit and, like, snap his suspenders and be checking his BlackBerry to see if Katie Couric has called him back for a second
date. I have no idea who you are. I don't know why we are here,
and I've got a strange leaking sensation happening somewhere inside my thorax. Here's Don Taylor.
Well, if you're interested in watching something new on TV tonight...
And who isn't?
And you know you are. Tonight, the 21st edition of Survivor begins tonight with Survivor Nicaragua. With 20 castaways being divided into tribes according to their ages. The Espada tribe is made up of people over 40, while the La Flor tribe consists of people under age 30. Former Dallas Cowboys coach Jimmy Johnson is among the participants. I don't know why. He just is. A new episode of Hellcats on the CW, home of Gossip Girl.
That's right, and Rick Emerson.
And Rick Emerson's Outlook Portland. On tonight's episode, Marty is embarrassed when her mom comes to the qualifiers and she tells her to leave. Savannah's sister, who's the squad captain of a rival school, is injured in a fall, forcing Savannah to choose between going with her to the hospital or staying in the competition.
Let me just say this, and Lisa and Brian Wood, who were at Outlook Portland yesterday for the taping, they can testify to this. Right outside, if you leave the sort of the dressing room, green room thing at Outlook Portland, and you walk down the hall to the actual studio where you do the taping, directly outside the studio door is a giant Hellcats poster that's framed, which is pretty awesome, by the way. It's right next to an America's Next Top Model poster, so it's that'll be going home with Rick Emerson at some point.
Oh, come on. Can you bring it to the studio?
I could.
Can we bring it
in? Quite possibly.
Since you don't have the giant picture of your head anymore.
No. I could also bring you a Vampire Diary standee.
Ooh, would you?
It's I have to actually say, I'm actually not that familiar with the show, but it's
I watched about four episodes of it and then just gave up.
Sarah's a big fan of that. It's the male lead. I forget. He looks kind of like Scott Wolf.
Yeah, he looks kind of like a cross between a young Rob Lowe and the guy from Dharma and Greg.
Yeah, I can't remember the guy's name, Vampire Diaries, but I have like a cardboard standee of him lurking around the studio somewhere. All right, here's Don Taylor.
Also tonight, the pilot of Outlaw on NBC, a legal drama about Justice Cyrus Garza, played by Jimmy Smits, who quits his Supreme Court post and returns to private practice, crisscrossing the country with his legal team to handle controversial cases. First up, Garza tries to free a condemned client in a most difficult case that tests his will and determination. Yeah. And that's pretty much it, really. There's also Ultimate Fighter, the new season 12 of Ultimate Fighter, Team GSP versus Team Kostjek, with 28 lightweight mixed martial arts fighters vying for a six-figure UFC contract. So
it almost sounds as though television is a vast, barren wasteland, Dawn, in which there's very little to hold one's interest for very long.
This is kind of why I download everything and watch it on my computer and don't actually watch TV. There is a new episode of Terriers tonight on FX, and I watched the first episode of that, and it was actually pretty good.
I am still halfway through the first episode. I got distracted by it.
I think it may get better as it goes along. It's a little uneven.
Did you say that is speaking of joints, a Sean Ryan joint?
It is.
So
it
did
is
he a, write it or is he just producing
I
it?
I think he's just producing
okay,
it.
Okay, because it...
The guy who wrote it and the actual show, specific showrunner, the guy who wrote it, I believe, wrote Ocean's 12.
All right. Well, that's not really like a ringing endorsement.
No, but, Donald Loge, who's kind of awesome.
And then it's got, as you said, the guy who played the killer in the first season of True Blood, which apparently had its season finale on Sunday. I only know that because I have this, like, news, sort of aggregation service. And True Blood season finale is, one for the record books. Where, like,
because you and I both just shook our hands and said, we agree to walk away from True Blood.
All I know is that Seamus sends me these long emails every Monday morning where he kind of recaps, just for my own amusement, everything that happened on True Blood the night before. And I guess that Jason Stackhouse is now humping some shape-shifting puma girl. I swear to God, I'm not even making that up.
Or sure,
I'm sorry,
not?
Or puma girl.
Puma.
Or, in any event, you're listening to Legion of News. Don't forget the Rick Emerson Show comes up at 1 o'clock. Today we'll talk to Kelly Clark from Willamette Week. Snuff Watch on the way, Taser Watch on the Rick Emerson Show. Also, Democracy on the March, plus the top five and... clown porn. Legion of News program continues on here for just a few moments before we wrap everything up. It is brought to you by such folks as Michael Beatty. He is the owner and proprietor of The Cleaning Solution. The Cleaning Solution can be reached at 971-533-3211. 971-533-3211. If you find yourself in your office or your workplace, we talk a lot about your home, but if you are a business owner, a manager, you run some sort of an office, you have a studio, you have a whatever it might be, and you find that it's either the carpet's getting a little grunged up over time because everybody walks on it, you know, maybe doesn't get cleaned as often as it should, somebody spills something, you kind of mop it up, you kind of get it out of there with a rag as best you can, but over time it just gets that sort of, just gets a kind of low-grade filth building up. You get it cleaned up, you get it looking as good as it was the day you moved in, and then you don't have to worry about it anymore. You don't have to feel self-conscious about it. And if you've actually just gotten new carpet put in, or tile, or stone, or anything you walk on, hardwood flooring, you start taking care of that on a regular basis, and it's going to look just as good 10, 12, 15, 20 years from now. So you contact Michael Beatty at 971-533-3211. 971-533-3211, whether it's for your home or for your business, whether it's to clean something and restore it to the way it used to look, or whether it's to maintain it so it always looks great, they can handle anything your feet might touch. That is The Cleaning Solution. Michael Beatty, 971-533-3211. Here's Don Taylor.
The news organization Bloomberg is reporting that... Oh, we have no more entertainment news.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I just love that music so much that I hate to see it go away. Okay. The news organization Bloomberg is reporting that Apple Incorporated Chief Executive Officer Steve Jobs said he will never return to Japan after officials at an airport barred him from taking ninja throwing stars aboard his private plane. A security scan at Kansai International Airport near Osaka detected the weapons inside the executive's carry-on luggage in July as he was returning home to the U.S. from a family vacation in Kyoto, according to a Japanese magazine called SPA. They cited unidentified officials at the airport and the transportation ministry. Jobs said it wouldn't make sense for a person to try to hijack his own plane, according to the report. He then told officials he would never visit Japan again.
Now, is there any explanation for the throwing stars being present in his luggage? Because I've got a series of them that I'm creating in my head right now, but I'm wondering if he has like an official response.
I don't believe so.
All right. One.
Apple has disputed the magazine's account and said that he did visit Japan this summer for vacation, but the incidents described at the airport are pure fiction. He had a great time and hopes to visit Japan again soon.
Why would they fabricate, of all things, that he had Japanese throwing stars?
I don't know, because Takeshi Uno, a spokesman for Kansai Airport, said a passenger using a private jet was stopped at the end of July for carrying shuriken, however you pronounce them, the jet, yeah, ninja throwing stars, and other handheld blades. The passenger, whom Uno declined to identify because of the airport's privacy policy, threw away the blades, he said. He said the airport does not have separate boarding arrangements for private jet
users. All right, so I got three explanations for this.
Okay.
One is just that Steve Jobs, despite his turtleneck cool, is just a colossal nerd.
Oh, yeah.
And nerds love throwing stars. Also, butterfly knives, by the way. Also, Soldier of Fortune magazine. So that's one. Number two, Steve Jobs actually is a ninja. Which, you know, he has like he's sort of he's sort of a storm shadow kind of a figure that lives under the cover of anonymity. But then when justice needs to be served,
like a Chuck Barris sort of thing, that he uses his position at Apple to travel around assassinating people.
We're not saying that's the case, Steve Jobs. Please don't kill us. We're just speculating that could be one of the reasons. Except that I don't believe that he would serve the cause of justice. I think that he would probably be an evil ninja. Third, that he is in fact developing some new Apple product which can not only access your Wi-Fi and the burgeoning 4G network, but can in fact assassinate your enemies and kill those who displease you.
And he had to bring back actual weaponry from Japan so they can figure out which would be the ideal one to insert in the back of the iPhone so it could shoot out
exactly
when you push the correct button.
Well, design is everything, Don, and Apple's not going to cheap out by going to the state fair in Salem and buying some throwing stars by the booth where, they're selling kettle corn or something. So, you have to get the authentic quality materials if it's going to be a truly Apple product.
I did like him saying, though, why would someone hijack their own... You don't have to worry about someone hijacking their own plane.
Well,
he does have a point.
Let's do one more here, and then we will wrap this up for the day.
Okay. A terrified family fears their toilet has been possessed by the devil after an image of Satan appeared overnight in a bathroom tile. Laszlo Serefko spent a fortune renovating the room in his family home in Budapest with a new bath, shower, and tiles. But after taking her first shower, his horrified wife, Andrea, 47, fled from the bathroom when she spotted a horned head of a devil in one of the tiles.
Is there a photo accompanying this story?
There was in The Sun, but The Sun doesn't let you, like copy their photos.
I see. So you can't really display it.
But if you Google, like, The Sun newspaper and devil in bathroom tile, you could probably find it. I was naked coming out of the shower, and I could suddenly see his eyes staring into me. I screamed and ran. Laszlo said, "We can't clean it off, and it wasn't there when we put the tiles up. It just appeared overnight, and nothing can move it. The room was always ice cold, no matter how high we turned the heating up, and we just stopped using it because it's too spooky. We wash in the sink downstairs now."
Okay. Legion of News comes to you each and every weekday right here on PDX.FM and is produced at the studios of the Emerson News Network, high above the milkpacking district here in beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon.
And not haunted by devil tiles.
That's right, to the best of our knowledge, anyway. At the news desk, it is Dawn Taylor. Advanced technology and magic provided by Mr. Thomas Gill. Executive producer Bruce Agler. Chief of staff is Cheryl Kanakoa. The Rick Emerson Show comes up next at rickemerson.com. Thank you for listening. We will see you tomorrow at 12 noon. Until then, this has been another exciting installment of
Legion of News on PDX.FM.